Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are people that are making a difference in the collective of our species on the planet at this time. And it looks like with what's going on in the Gulf and Korea and all kinds of places in Goldman Sachs, we need a lot of help shifting the collective. And today I have a wonderful wizardess. I call her, or many call her, the fairy godmother. She's a woman, Diana Pepper, who's a friend and also a neighbor, fortunately for me, who is working with the divas and the earth spirits, her own guides and angels, in a multidimensional, well, she presents multidimensional tree essences and flower essences. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Diana. We're going to pick your
brain.
Thank
you. Thank you. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So you work with flower essences. Do you want to explain to everybody what exactly those are?
Yes.
Please.
Okay. Flower essences are the unique vibrational pattern of the flowers or the plant that are held in water. And they're kind of like the divine nature, if you will, of the plant. You can also think of them like a plant spirit in a bottle.
Hmm. So it's like the intelligence of the plant?
Yeah. The spiritual or super cognitive. It's not cognitive intelligence. It's the spiritual intelligence, if you will, of the plant.
I always think of flowers as being kind of an antenna for the universe.
Oh, yeah. And the trees. Really.
So you talk to their... You're capable or you're able to talk with their spirit?
Yes. The deva, the language deva, originally comes from India, meaning light beings, Sanskrit kind of word.
Light beings. Oh, I see. Okay.
And has kind of come through the Theosophical and Fenthorn and then other people's flower essence kind of work, where typically a deva is meant to be a being who holds the universal pattern for something.
Okay.
So it can be a plant, a flower, a building, a computer, whatever.
A vacuum cleaner.
Whatever. You know, but things aren't in form until there's a pattern for them.
Right.
So the deva is the one that holds that unique pattern on a kind of a spiritual level. And so that's a universal being compared to, like my grandmother, Big Leaf Maple Tree. I'll talk about her for a moment because the Big Leaf Maple Tree part is the universal spirit.
Okay.
The grandmother part is the actual tree spirit or the faun or dryad or whatever you want to call that being who is inhabiting the physical form of that tree.
Hmm.
And this tree, the grandmother Big Leaf Maple Tree, is really, really, really big, really, really old, ancient on this land that's preserved, and just very gentle and wonderful being. And
so kind of like a vortex, it's downloading a consciousness on the earth?
For a flower essence, yeah, you could call it that. The way I think about myself when I'm doing it is like I'm an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a radio station. And I'm, you know, so I'm like the receptor. And what comes in is a note for an individual essence. So they're all like one individual frequency or one individual note. But then when I blend them, like for a client's personalized combination bottle or for one of my standard combinations that are sold on the website, then those are more like a chord or a song.
So you have, and they would be harmonizing the vibrational being of a person that comes
yes.
to you. How did you get, I want to get farther into that. I want to ask you two questions at once. That's because I'm a Gemini, probably.
Well, I'm a Libra, so I'll balance them. There you go.
So how did you get into this? How did you develop a rapport with these unseen consciousnesses of flowers and trees?
Well, I think that's always been with me to some degree, although I blocked it out for a really, really long time.
So you were born with it?
Well, I think a lot of us are. We're just trained out of it.
That's right.
But it started to really open up again in 15, 20 years ago. And I started working with some of the writings from Michelle Smallwright and Paralandra.
Oh, I like Paralandra.
Right. And I was working with my gardens and, you know, and kind of like, wow, I know how to talk to these guys and they talk back. You know, and it was fun. It was wonderful. And then as I worked...
Well, have you always liked gardening?
No, actually. I didn't grow up with that at all.
Okay.
And I just started learning, I don't know, not too long before that. So, yeah.
So when they start talking to you, it's a lot more exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it's very exciting. But, you know, I think I naturally have a capacity to garden and to be with the plants.
But what did they tell you? How to grow me, how to water me, how to...
Yeah. And I still do that with, mm-hmm. with the plants on our land.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it's a continuing process. But the essence-making process goes, expands that, you know, mm-hmm. where I'm working with the deva of... I'm working in, like, a multidimensional conference call.
Hmm.
It's called, like... and so I'm working with a deva of... the plant and the deva of flower essences in general. And
do you need to know that, or do you just download information and trust that?
Well, I always work within this configuration because I hear a lot better.
Okay.
And I know that it's a really safe configuration. So
trustworthy.
It includes other beings. And it depends on which flower it is and what plant it is as to who comes in. And my higher self is a part of it. So we're all in this communication coning together.
I want to back up just for a sec. So mm-hmm. here you are in the garden, and you're beginning to understand what the cabbage needs and how to...
Okay.
When did you get to the point where you're saying, okay, on the higher, more multidimensional level, I know what the essence service is of that? How did you make that quantum leap? I would call it a quantum leap.
Well, they're kind of different in a way, but they're not also different. It took me a couple of years working with other people's essences and working with nature beings to feel like I was ready to start making essences.
So you were working with other people's and understanding that already.
Right. And it felt like I was remembering more than learning. It felt like I was remembering how to do this. Like, I've done this many lifetimes, and I just kind of woke up and went, oh, I remember how to do this.
But you do look like you could be a fairy godmother.
Oh, well, yeah.
With a delicate, delicate petite, but you look, you just have that fairy look that's wonderful.
Thank you. Yes, I'm part fairy.
I think so, hey?
Yeah. But also, it's like I intended. I wanted to be able to do this. And so when John and I moved from Boulder back to the Lummi Island where he had a cabin, and for the first couple of years we were there, the land was teaching me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was really wonderful because they're good teachers, and the plants still teach me. I mean, they're really a big part of
it. And do you hear it in words, or do you hear it in sense and motion?
Electromagnetically, I'm very kinesthetic. Hmm. I'm not so as... psychically visual as I am kinesthetic and auditory, so I hear.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the funniest things that happened was one day I was trying to learn how to go outside and know what plant was talking to me. So I went outside and I was kind of like, I feel like my chest opening up and I can feel like this magnetic stuff going on in my torso and chest. And I was like, I was kind of carrying over here, over here, over here, over here, you know, and they were like taking me all through the woods and the backwoods and through all this brush and stuff. And I'm like, and we finally came out to this place that was right on the edge of the clearing where I had started, mm-hmm. but it was behind a plant that I could have just walked right up to.
Oh, that's so like the labyrinth we're always being put through.
And I was like, okay, what's the joke here? I mean, like, why did you guys have me go all the way down through there? Before, I could have just walked up here and there, like, because we wanted to find out if you were listening.
Interesting.
If you could hear us. And I'm like, okay.
And so they haven't put you through that kind of journeying since quite.
Mm, not quite like that, but there's always little things. Yeah.
So is that when you did your first essence, or?
No, it was a couple of years before I did my first essence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, well, the next summer was actually when I did my first essence. And but then I did several that first year. And I was just really learning how to make the essences and store them and care for them and all that kind of thing. So I wound up the next year actually remaking all of them and starting from there.
And then when people, okay, if I come to you for an essence, how do you decide which essence, how does it all work in interaction with people? Or maybe we should start by picking an essence for our discussion right now.
Okay. Also, I want to, at some point, I want to make sure that we talk about how the essences differ from other kinds of plant medicine.
Sure. Well, you can. Yeah.
So where do we want to go first?
I think we should start with an essence, and then okay. You can talk about the uniqueness of your style.
Hmm. Okay. So one of the essences that just came through that I want to bring up is called Evergreen Huckleberry. It's a brand new one. It's not on our website yet, but then I'll talk about a few more that are on the website. And this one I think is really important right now because of all that's happening, mm-hmm. and it's so challenging for some of us now with everything that's going on in the world, everything that's going on in our country, all the earth changes and the climate.
Volcanoes and
craziness and all that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So the Evergreen Huckleberry is like when processes or stages of development, things like earth changes and finding out, like, can humans possibly live in peace and sustainably? Do we remember how to do this? But then it's that feeling like it's never going to
question.
It feels like it's never going to happen. Like it's just going to go on forever and ever and ever like it is. And you get into this kind of disheartened sort of malaise.
Right.
And this kind of leads to a joyless stress. And there's...
So, I've been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what this essence does is it helps to transform that.
Oh, good.
Into engaging life with curiosity, enthusiasm, and a deep stillness.
Hmm.
And then also being able to release feeling that we're responsible for everything, especially things that we don't have any control over.
Hmm. Which is hard if we're learning to create our reality. That we create our reality, it's hard not to feel responsible for everything, isn't it?
Well, there's also the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do our part. But we can't necessarily, by our own, this is my opinion and my experience, by our own one person desire, it doesn't mean we can automatically snap our fingers, although I'd love to air fryer. I just like to go, bing,
yeah.
And it's done, you know.
Well, that would be controlling everyone else, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so we can't necessarily do that. It's a planet of free will.
Mm-hmm.
And so... this essence is to help those of us who care so much, and that sometimes it's very heart-wrenching.
Yes, it is.
So.
And what's it called again? It's Evergreen
Huckleberry.
Evergreen Huckleberry.
Right. Now, it's a little funny for me to be mentioning something that's not on the website yet, but it's because it's so important right now.
I don't think it's funny because your website is constantly upgrading as you come in contact with. How did you explain it to me? You get information about the emerging frequencies?
Yes. Every year there's new essences that come through. I mean, one of the uniquenesses of our essence line is that some companies have an essence line that they've developed over mm-hmm. a period of time, and it just stays that way. They don't add anything else, or they don't add any new products, and they're
right.
just...
I'm aware of that.
And they're usually good essences. And what's different... one of the things that's different about ours is that every year there's new essences coming through. And that's because we're changing. And there's new processes that we're involved in and new things that we're experiencing and as individuals and as a collective. And
the rising frequencies on the planet and in the universe. Right?
Constantly. So,
which is going very fast over the next year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We know about that.
Also air. We're going to fly, Diana.
And... so these essences come through to help us with that. I mean, there's some oldies but goodies that have been around for the 10 years that I, most of them will be my 11th season making them. So there's some oldies but goodies that have been around for all that time that are still valid and still very helpful. And
then you're saying they actually consciously choose to support our evolution. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm the conduit.
Great.
So I don't always say, occasionally I'll say, well, we need something for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody together, you know, that's working in my communication conference call will say, okay, and we'll think about that for, you know, a while or a day or a few days or a week or a couple months or a year or whatever. And then they'll go, okay, this is the one, boom. And then we'll make that essence.
Hmm. So how do we use right now, given that like the way you're talking about your conference call with the beings, mm-hmm. and we're also talking about the collective heartache over, you know, rather a large group of people with the heartache over the. So how does the evergreen huckleberry work? How would you use it? Would you use it on individuals? Would you call forth groups to use it, or all of the above?
All of the above. Right. I've been putting it, let me change the language there. It's easy to say I've been putting it, but actually I'm the conduit. You know, I'm the human being that has the hands that can make the bottles.
Right.
when I'm working with a client, I'm always kinesthetically and energetically reading what their body mind is asking for.
Right.
So when an essence goes into their formula, they're the one who's asking for it. I'm just the, if you will, the computer that's translating that and creating the formula.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been going already into combination bottles for people. It's already gone as an individual essence in its own bottle by itself to several people. And it's gone into the Earthkeeper formula.
Hmm.
The Earthkeeper formula came out 2 years ago. And it was really valid the way it was at that time. And since then, this process has dragged on for many of us feel is longer than we had expected.
That we really want, for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sometimes feels harder to keep dealing with, well, politics aren't exactly what I had hoped they were going to be, and there's more hurricanes and volcanoes than I had thought maybe there would be, and,
right.
you know, there's all this stuff going on. As well as, you know, personal family dynamics and personal changes and
things that are happening. Hurricanes going on in the social
yeah.
milieu of family.
A lot of people are leaving the planet right now.
That's
hard for some people, and they're staying. And so it's gone into this. It just asked to be added to this Earthkeeper formula. So
now, does the Earthkeeper formula get me to understand how to listen to roses and cabbages?
No, that's not necessarily what it's designed for. It's designed for those of us who work for the Earth, and in all ways, whether it's our jobs or just our being as who we are, or you can be a social activist or a social justice person or a peacekeeper or someone who's a parent and teaches their children to recycle and ride their bikes to school and, you know, that kind of, it's for anybody who cares about Earth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to continue to support ourselves in our work for Earth.
Mm. So it releases the kind of knot in the stomach and the hopeless.
Yeah.
What did you call it in the other one? Something about hopelessness.
Disheartened malaise.
That's right.
Isn't that
good? It takes over a lot of people.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. See, again, all this information that comes through, I'm channeling it, basically. You know, I'm the scribe. You know, that's learned how to type this stuff into the computer and then print it out.
That's very good. The other day when we were talking briefly, you said something about weather patterns and its rapport with our own personal turmoil. I think that's what it was. Do you remember that?
Yes. Some of the weather patterns that are going on are of Earth. They're you know, Mother Earth and her bigger electromagnetic fields around the physical form of the Earth, and that dynamic is genuine to what's going on for Earth. Some of the weather patterns are influenced by or created by or made more severe by the human collective consciousness. So the more that we are putting out our own personal frustrations and anger and turmoil and the sense of disheartenedness or whatever, you know, the negativity in any way.
It's a really hopeless kind of like,
yeah.
What
then,
can I do anyway?
Then the earth and the weather patterns wind up having to deal with that, and mm-hmm. kind of they have to do extra work to kind of blow it away, if you will.
And so we're kind of emitting trauma? Are we emitting traumatic frequencies,
yeah.
and that meets feedback from the earth or from the atmosphere?
Right. And there's a, let's see if I remember. It's a globalcoherence.org, and Greg Braden.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he's one of the people involved in it, and I don't remember the name of the man right now, but HeartMath. And they're...
I forget his name, too, but HeartMath is doing wonderful
stuff. Yes, and so they're showing scientifically what I'm talking about. They're showing the electromagnetic dynamics of what people's consciousness can do. So it works both ways. The more that we focus on peace, and the more that we focus on sustainability, and the more that we focus on heartfulness and send beautiful energy to the people that have gone through these incredible disasters, the more that energy coheres and creates a higher frequency vibration.
And soothes the
around
rocks,
Earth,
if you will.
Yes. So they're watching the dynamics of what goes on. Like they'll put out a blurb after a particular, like an email, after a particular event, like a hurricane or a volcanic explosion or something, and then they'll watch what happens as the people in, that have received this come together to put out this loving care. I mean, it's people from all over the world, and they'll just say, at a particular time, if you can, or any time, just do this. But what they're trying to do is watch a time frame to see what's going on in the weather patterns and the electromagnetic fields.
It's kind of like those studies that have been done on meditation and violence in New York
or
Washington.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Isn't that great, hey?
Right.
So if we, so with the essence that you've done, the evergreen huckleberry, that helps us to detune our malaise so that we can actually be attuned to possibility, would you say?
Yes, definitely. Curiosity. You know, it's like, well, what is possible? How could we create this? How could this work better? You know, things like, I mean, there's transition communities coming up all over the country, you know, like Bellingham is, and Whatcom County are considered transition communities now because they're looking at ways to live more sustainably. And, you know, things like that. You know, how can we get involved in that? How can we do that in our personal life? What could we do that would be more supportive? Not only for ourselves, but for
we have so much fear-based information coming at us all the time. It sounds to me like it would break the gridlock that that places over our thinking as well.
Right, and there's another essence that is actually on the website.
Good, we like that.
It's called Purple Monarda.
Purple Monarda.
M-O-N-A-R-D-A, Monarda. And that one has to do with... realizing that the collective conscious is kind of like a huge cloud cover or a huge blanket over us that kind of keeps us from being able to access the truth through our spiritual channels. And so it helps us to break through that, to like create holes in that collective conscious disinformation that we've been given and we've learned to believe because that's all we've known or we've been taught. And it helps us to kind of make pinholes through it or big channels through it so we can actually bring in
very
exciting spiritual dynamic information.
So you actually, so talk more about how you would use them because I'm going, we could use them in layers and you could use them in schools and you could use them in...
Well, there's some of these essences that, you know, friends of mine and I will joke around like, we ought to go put this in the drinking water for the whole community. I mean,
would that work?
Probably. I mean, but again, there's free will and, you know, it's not our choice to do that. But in a family, you could do that. You could put it in the water source for a family. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I guess I have to think about this whole thing about free will and all that. I'm going, there's so much pollution. Let's talk about pollution.
There's
so much pollution that I'm not choosing except by existence. And I'm going, I'd love to think somebody was putting some clarifiers in.
Right. You're familiar with Dr. Emoto's work.
Yes, I am.
So
you might want to recap it a bit for our listeners.
I was just able to see him in person a few weeks ago when he was here, and it's so wonderful. He's this amazing Japanese man who has been studying water for a really long time and has learned, with the help of his technicians, to make crystals from water that come from different sources and also water that has been fed different information.
Okay.
And they're
through emotions, right?
Primarily through emotions, but also just through language, written language or verbal language, and pictures. So basically water has memory, and various people are showing that, so I won't get into all of that. But you can actually help water heal by feeding it very positive energies and good information. Like we did a healing ceremony here for the what's called the Salish Sea, the whole Puget Sound area, the waters. And we basically said we each had some water.
And were you outside?
We were outside.
Okay.
Just over here on the Samish grounds at Lummi Nation.
With Iboto?
With Iboto.
Wow.
Yes. That was really wonderful. And we all had some water, each of us. There were several hundred people. And we said, water, I'm sorry, water, forgive me, water, thank you. Water, I love you.
That's the Ho'oponopono.
Yeah. And so that was each of us bringing that particular intention into the water and then feeding it back out to the larger body of water. It's a little bit, it can be overwhelming for a person to try to do a large water body of water by themselves. So
yes, I imagine.
It's important not to try to do that, but to take a small amount of water that's kind of like a hologram for the bigger and then put it back in.
And take people with you that are like,
yes,
like intentioned.
Yes. You can really fry your circuits if you try to do too much on your own.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because you were saying people have free will and I don't want to drop essences in the water because that's...
Well, I don't mind dropping water essences in the water for the bigger collective and for the for the Puget Sound area.
I want you to.
But, yes, and I have, and I do.
Great.
My point there was just to put it in a water source for a whole community without their, without anybody else's knowing. You know, it's just kind of like it feels a little too manipulative to me.
So, so flower essences, when you were working with Dr. Emoto, and then in using intention and love, conscious heart, so on, and words, you know, and the Ho'opono, however you say it, expression, I'm going, well, where do the flower essences come in? Did you add them to them? Did you also use flower essences?
Not in his particular ceremony because that was his style.
Right.
But what I do is I also bring in the essences. And that's actually how the essences are made. I mean, it's I make a communicate with the plant spirit, which is a particular frequency, a particular quality of being, and invite that into the water. So in essence, the water is becoming an essence. You know, it is an essence. It takes on that particular quality and becomes the carrier for that quality or that particular frequency.
Well, tell me this. I have a wonderful neighbor named Marilyn, and her question to you was, how can we depollute what comes into the house? How can we depollute our houses? You know, with you know how sometimes what comes in isn't necessarily conscious, so there's a lot of poisons that are hidden in things.
Right.
You know, preservatives and so on.
Right.
Can we use, can you recommend things like, of course, essences and also perhaps plants and flowers that might have an impact? This is a person who loves her garden.
Yes. So, you're talking about things like chlorine in the water source? And
yeah, just anything that comes into the house. We all have pollutants here, whether it's, you know, cleaning fluids or agents of any kind, smokes. We get a certain kind of sulfur in our water sometimes.
Right.
There's a lot of little things that come through, you know, smell. It's not just smells, but anything that could really toxify who we are, you know.
Right.
Because I think that toxicity is moving up in volume.
Yes.
Radically.
One of the things that I use for clearing spaces, and it can also be used for clearing water, mm-hmm. would be the Sacred Energy Spray.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a blend. And you could put that in your water source. You could put it in, like if you filter your water, you can put it in the water that you're filtering.
Okay.
You can also put language, words that are very meaningful to you, that have good qualities, like love, purity, clarity, on your water deposit,
mm-hmm.
and that would help as the water's coming through. Do you want to say more about the sacred energies?
Yes, I do. I want to know what's in it besides sacred. You said sacred energies is a blend, right?
Right, it is.
So what is it a blend of?
Well, let me back up for 1 second here and say that when you're clearing a space, and your house or land, or if you're going to be doing ceremony in a room someplace else.
Place where something traumatic has happened,
yes.
Or just a lot of years.
If you do body work in between clients.
Right, okay.
I do this. So I have a spray that's called Angels of Light.
Okay.
Now that one has...
I've used that, actually.
Yes, isn't that nice?
It's beautiful.
It's the flower essences in that one are White Yarrow, Comfrey, and Moonshadow Rose.
Okay.
And they... help to dissipate all old gooey, sticky things that don't belong there anymore and bring in white light.
Like old emotions, old densities,
yes.
Old abuse or...
Yes. And then there's some essential oils in those as well, which are lavender, thyme, and orange. And all of those are antimicrobial, mm-hmm. as well as just the lavender brings in the more purple frequencies of boundary protection.
Hmm.
The violet boundary protections, and the others are bringing in a more calm settledness, and so that's kind of the first layer of kind of getting the old things that you don't want there anymore moved out, and beginning to create a layer of higher frequency boundaries and protection, clarity, and then to the sacred energies takes it up even more. So it's creating like a ceremonial space. And
is this what you mean by multidimensional essences?
Yes, partly, yes. Because I'm working multidimensionally, like we've talked about, but also I'm very aware of some of the listeners maybe know Barbara Handclaw and her work with the Alchemy of Nine Dimensions.
Yes, a lot of people in this area especially.
Right, and I've studied with her quite a bit, and so I'm very attuned. I can feel them in my body. All of us human beings have the capacity to feel all of at least those nine dimensions, if not more, within and around our bodies. And the essences work multidimensionally in that, some essences tend to work primarily on the emotional level. So
okay.
They're working with how we operate in our day-to-day life, like I want to change this particular habit, I want to change this particular quality of my personality, I have this, particular trait that I'm always falling into,
right.
And
it might be genetic, so we think we have
and
no...
And that's okay,
yeah.
And we have something for that, too, we've got the blood root essence.
Good.
But
people need to hear that.
Yes.
Change it all, come on.
Yes, but yeah. But these essences work on those levels, on the day-to-day, very much on the day-to-day, and the emotional states. But it's also like, how are we as spiritual beings having a human experience, moving through our days, bringing our spirituality into our daily lives?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going through this evolutionary process as human beings and bringing that into how we live? And that it can be part of our healing process. It can be part of our work life. It can be part of our family life.
Mm.
So the essences that I make are about all of that. And that's part of why I consider them multidimensional, because when you use the sacred energies blend, you're working at those high frequencies. You're working up to the ninth dimension. From the fifth dimension to the ninth dimension would be the higher spiritual realm.
So it could be aspects of yourself which are resonant in other dimensions.
Exactly,
yeah.
Very much so, as well as other beings.
As other beings,
that you can communicate with, or that you may communicate with on a regular basis anyway, but particularly in a ceremonial environment. You mm-hmm. want to have access to the highest quality frequencies, and that's where this takes you.
So I want to jump a little bit to your energy work with people. You do a lot of that mm-hmm. as well, do you?
Yes, I do.
And so it seems to me that's a very compatible system, is it?
Very much so, and that informs a lot of what goes into my essences. Mm-hmm. Because I've had some training in a form of Jin Shin, and I've had some training in Shiatsu, and I co-teach a class with a Shiatsu person here. So we're learning, we teach how to use the flower essences with Shiatsu and on the Shiatsu points. Mm. And I work very much with organ energy systems and meridians and the chakras and layers of the energy fields. I've done some shamanic training,
So you do hands-on on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mostly in the field, but some hands-on. And I can do soul retrieval, power animal retrieval, some other aspects of shamanic kind of work.
So you've learned to be fairly fluid going in and out of dimensions in your own work then,
yes,
to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm always working with my spirit guides in this communication and protection, multidimensional conference call, if you will. So mm-hmm. it's, I know everything's clear. And the biggest, you know, thing for me is to make sure that I'm clear enough to receive what's coming through. Mm-hmm. And I've just learned I have to get out of my own way and let it come through.
Got any clues or any advice for people about clearing? My guides always say that clearing is 95% of the job.
As far as communication and hearing?
Yeah, and not just that, as far as our evolution goes, that a lot of it is clearing. I mean, a lot of your flower essence work is actually unhooking.
The transformation is blend. Mm-hmm. See, I keep going to the blends because there's like 22 to 24, somewhere around that, essences in these blends.
So how does that work? Don't they contraindicate one another?
No. Things are so complicated these days. I mean, we're working on so many levels.
Right.
You can be working on what's going on for you, the immediate thing that seems like it's what's presenting itself, but there's like all these layers around it and under it.
Yeah.
So
like whether it's kind of a cellular thing or genetic.
Yes.
Or,
you know, so
astrological.
Yes. So someone comes in and they say, "Well, I've got this back pain," and you find out that, you know, through working with them and through information that comes through, that there's some past life issue involved in it. There's some genetic issue involved in it. There's a physical stress because they were just lifting something that was too heavy for them to lift.
While they were upset or something.
Yes, yeah. And the emotional content that was behind
right.
them deciding to do that in the first place. Yeah. And
we're a library, aren't we? We're a really interesting library.
Yes. So what the essences are doing is going to all of those layers, past, present, future, through the dimensions and functioning right now.
Well, it's fairly practical use. It's a little teeny bottle.
So, like the Transformees, that is about working with all these energies that are wanting to be transformed. Otherwise, they wouldn't be presenting themselves now. Mm-hmm. So, one of the key essences in there is the spotted coral root, and that's kind of like that biomass energy.
Right, okay.
You know, it's like mm-hmm. taking the old energetic and hormonal sort of patterning and using that as fuel to bring your body chemistry and your emotional state up to a higher level.
Well, basically all the energy is useful if you can corral it or transform it, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. Mm. Okay. So case in point, an autoimmune situation that's expressed for me has been shingles.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, and there's been all kinds of different kinds of autoimmune stuff in my family, diabetes and cancer and different things. So, when I started using the spotted coral root, I started transforming some of those old patternings of what would express themselves as shingles.
So it would be like the emotional underpinning.
And the emotional and the biochemistry.
What
right?
would cause, yeah.
So now, again, this is one of the things I want to kind of go, can we back up a little to the example? Because I want to get really clear on what the essences are and are not. Because I don't practice medicine. And the Western sort of the sense. That's the CYA statement.
Well, when you're a fairy godmother, you don't need medicine.
Well, spirit medicine. Yeah. And I'm an ordained minister, so I can go to the spirit medicine.
Oh, yes.
So if you think about a building, and anything that's of the physical form of the plant would be like this building. Mm-hmm. So that would be like herbs and vegetables and fruits and teas. And then things like tinctures that start off by, you know, they soak the herbs in really strong vodka and extract the healing properties from there.
Right.
Or oils that are infused or soaked out of the plant, or mm-hmm. squeezed or distilled out of the plant, essential oils. It can include things like salves and stuff like that, lotions. So they all go in. They're ingested either in through the digestive system or through the skin. And then you have things like homeopathy that are kind of like one grain of sand in the cornerstone brick of the building, this hologram for the whole building. And you take that sublingually because you want it to work vibrationally at the cellular level.
Okay.
And then there's the flower essences. They're more like the concept in the mind of the architect before the blueprint is drawn for the building.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to that really high spiritual realm. You're going to that place of the highest knowing within our galaxy, if you will, at least, that has an understanding of what could be
mm-hmm.
and what is potential. And then that kind of steps down into the... how would that manifest in sacred geometry, like through the patterns of sacred geometry and that kind of thing, and then in through the heart and then into physical form.
Mm-hmm.
So we have light, sound, and all that moving down into what's becoming more physical. Well, the essences are starting at that really high frequency. Think of it like a power generation plant,
mm-hmm.
where when the electricity comes right out of the power plant, you don't want that going into your house because it's going to blow up your house.
Right.
It goes through a whole series of transformers and gets stepped down so that when it gets to your house, it comes in as either a 110 circuit or 220 circuit. And you don't want to plug your toaster into the 220 circuit because, mm-hmm. again, it's too much electricity for it. But it's okay for your dryer or your stove. So in that same kind of way, the essences, when I'm making them, get stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in at a frequency that our bodies can handle. And but they start as this really high.
Have you ever been blown out by any that you hadn't stepped down enough?
Well, I have to tell you, when I hold the process for making these essences, it's about 5 hours or so for the essence itself to complete, okay. Partly because I use gemstones, mm-hmm. and I'll talk about that a bit.
Okay.
But the process takes around 5 hours, not including setup and time, transition time afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. I do feel it for about a day afterwards.
Like it's a lot.
It's a lot to hold.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to talk about briefly is also gemstones, but I'd like to go back to the weather thing for a minute and tell our listeners what they could do to participate in using their own power over weather problems like hurricanes and so on. Is there anything much that you can tell?
Well, about? I would shift the language a little bit. It's not power over.
Okay.
That's kind of the old paradigm as far as I'm concerned. It's not like we're making something happen or turning it to our will. It's more like aligning,
mm-hmm.
and coming into harmony with. So if you recognize that there's a destructive weather pattern that's coming your way, and you can get a group of people together of like mind and or similar mind.
Who are intent on
helping to clear anything that is human caused in this. Now, it's not saying like, okay, save us and put this on somebody else.
No, I know we don't want to do that.
No, it's more perhaps it can be dissipated. Perhaps it can be the intensity can be lessened. You know, it's more bringing the quality of the weather and the quality of your area into alignment, and bringing the people that are in the area as much as possible into alignment with harmony.
So it's kind of shifting our electrical output sort of thing,
yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Tell me this. One of the things I'm curious about is Mother Earth is, so we hear from various people have different ways of presenting various things, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some will say that Mother Earth is in such trauma, she's spitting at us all over. Do you see that? Is that part of the electrical confusion or trauma that's coming up, or is that just a metaphorical presentation of what we think it ought to be?
I would say that's for me, mm-hmm. that would be a statement out of fear.
Okay.
And my impression is that Earth is going through her own process.
Right.
Which
that's
involves
for sure.
A lot of a shifting of the tectonic plates,
mm-hmm.
and the ley lines are shifting, which I'm familiar to some degree with ley lines, at least on our land. I can't necessarily see them everywhere, but I do experience where they are. I can. So some of it is just her process,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that humans have to take that on as something they did bad. It's almost like the bad parent, you know, getting after the kid.
Right.
You know,
or saying, get off my apron.
A bad kid. Oh, no. Mom's going to get me now.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's more, and Barbara Hand Clough actually talks about this in her book, Catastrophobia, because it's that fear. Because we've gone through this before, and it's this fear that, oh, my God, it's going to happen again. We're all going to be killed, and all this stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, I remember her talking about, 11,000 years ago, we were so traumatic.
Yeah.
That those traumatic vibrations are still resonant within us.
They are.
Yeah.
In my experience,
yeah,
they are.
In our
and I've gone through that, too. Yeah. And I feel it myself, and I have to keep going, oh, okay, now I remember what this is.
Right. Well, that's helpful. Do you have an essence for that?
The Earth Keeper is a good one.
Good.
Beauty Way is another good one.
Beauty Way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bring ourselves into harmony within ourselves. No matter, it's more about how we do what we're doing. And for the Earth Keeper is the Yang. It's kind of like doing our work.
Mm-hmm.
The Beauty Way is more the Yin, like how we do what we do, mm-hmm. being in harmony and in peace within ourselves as we're doing our work.
Excellent.
And that feeling of our responsibility mm-hmm. in it.
And I know we can participate. You've already said that. How can we participate?
Right. Yeah. But you know, Earth is. But part of it is. You know, some people say, well, we don't have to do anything to help Earth heal because she's doing her thing and she can heal herself. Well, I think that's accurate. And at the same time, we don't need to give her anything more to deal with than what she's already dealing with on her own.
But I also think that there's a way of harmonizing with her.
Yes.
As well.
Right. And I think that's important for us to harmonize with Earth. And that's
and one another. It's a strengthening force, isn't it?
Right. It is. So some people get kind of wobbly or ungrounded or feeling kind of circuits fried and that kind of thing, you know, when Earth is going through changes.
Right.
So one of the essences is the rattlesnake plantain orchid, which is a wonderful little native plant here. And it came in around being plugged in to the Earth's circuits.
Oh,
so, because what goes on so much as we're changing and Earth is changing is that we get disconnected.
Hmm.
And some of us have been kind of disconnected for a long time anyway because of trauma or being really airy. You know.
Different focus.
You know, those kinds of things. So it helps us to be really just like plugged into the socket, you know, because mm-hmm. that's a lot of work.
That's called rattlesnake
plantain orchid.
Orchid.
And, because it's like that's part of our energy source is being plugged into Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're depleting her in any way. It's just that's how we're designed to be. We're designed to be connected. And even some animals are having a difficult time.
Yeah, I can see why. Or also with the frequencies moving up. Right. I'm afraid we're going to run out of time before we get to the gems. Do you want to shift to
those? Sure.
I mean, we're not finished, but we'd never finish, would we?
We can talk for hours.
I love this. You got me going. I'm like, I can really relate to this.
Well, there's several things about our essences that are really quite unique. One of them is the gemstones. And so I do, instead of making gem essences, which some companies do, where you actually put the gemstone in water and infuse it that way, what I do is I make a matrix of gemstones. And I bring the essence directly into the fluid that's in what's called the mother bottle or the storage bottle. Mm. And that technique was suggested to me by another flower essence producer who studied with the South American shaman. And because she was telling him about the cutting the flowers and floating them on water. And he was like, why bother doing it that way? Just connect to the plant spirit. That's what we've been doing for thousands of years. Just connect to the plant spirit and bring it in.
Oh.
If I go through those other rigmarole, you know, so...
That's great.
So as soon as I heard that, I was like, yeah, sure. That's the way to do it. So I have this, what are called the storage bottles. Mm-hmm. They're sitting with the plants and a matrix of stones around them, almost always amber and druzy quartz. And then there's several others, things like amethyst or chrysocolla or onyx or...
Tell me, do you change those according to what you've brought through from the spirit?
Well, according to what the essence is about. And mm-hmm. Those come in before the essence is being set up. So, and that's, again, just kind of usually channeled information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go to the books and go, well, what's this one about? Oh, yeah, okay, well, that will apply. But most of the time it's like intuitively brought forward, and then I have to figure out why this fits, you know, what is it bringing in? What is the quality?
I heard that's how Einstein made all of his big decisions. There you have it.
You just do it and then go, okay, that's fine.
Back it up from here, right?
Yeah, so they present qualities on their own, but they also make them really much more grounded into the physical realm.
Hmm.
And they're connected into the...
They serve as a connecting...
Yes, into the...
As your rattlesnake plantain
orchid.
They're kind of a different version of that.
Yes, in a way, yeah. Hmm. So I think that's a really important thing because we're so much becoming crystalline ourselves, you know, that to have that connection with the stones is really an additional support for how the essences work for us these days.
Hmm.
You know, so another important quality and difference is that my essences are available in a non-alcoholic and herbal vinegar base, where most essences are in brandy. Very few that I've been able to find have organic brandy.
Hmm.
Most of the time it's like, for my brandy, essences are available in brandy because that's what some people want, and it's just straight off the liquor store shelf brandy.
What's the use of the alcohol or the vinegar in the system? Does it potentate or does it...
It's a carrier and a preservative.
Mm. So you need something of that ilk. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. What I use, what I really love, and I suggest that people use it if they can, is the herbal vinegar base that I make. The herb is called Red Shiso, S-H-I-S-O.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really high in antimicrobial properties. It's used in macrobiotic cooking and preserved from umeboshi plum and that kind of thing. So it's it adds its own quality of heartness too.
Great. I'm really excited, and we have to unfortunately draw to a close, so I don't want us to close without you telling everybody how to get hold of you, give your website, and perhaps even a phone number for those people. Well, everybody's got to be on computer to be listening to us, but still, give a phone number as well.
Our website is www.treefrogfarm.com.
That's easy to spell.
You can go in and to the website and go into the contact page to come into our, be put on our email mailing list for
so
specials.
They get the latest new essence, which is in tune with the latest frequencies.
I will be doing a Facebook pretty soon, so then they'll really have the brand new ones at that point.
Oh, that's great.
Do you give
workshops?
I teach classes. I have some coming up. July, there'll be Attune and Commune with Nature on Saturday, July 24th, and then Making and Using Flower Essences on Sunday, July 25th.
Oh, so the tuning, so you'll teach us how to do, to talk to the plants?
Yes, yes, yes. And then I'll be teaching a class for energy vibrational healers and using our transformational flower essences in their practice. And that'll be in August 7th. And then Lona and I will be, Lona Wei, who's a shiatsu person, and I will be co-teaching a class for transformational body work with the shiatsu and flower essences. And in October, that's on the 9th of October.
Great.
Oh, actually, just changed. It's on the 16th of October.
Excellent.
Yes.
So you're all over the place. Do you travel as well in your work?
Very little.
Hmm. You just travel into the dimensions
right.
rather than...
Right.
I've so enjoyed this. You've taught me a lot today.
You know? Thank you. Thank
I've
you.
I've really learned a lot about it. And thank you so much for your work in the world and for joining us.
You're welcome. Yes, and also on our website, you can go to look at the consultation page if you're interested in having me work with you on an individual basis.
And you work with people long distance, don't you?
Yes, mm-hmm. And animals, too.
Okay, so you can experience their multidimensional requirements long distance without any problem.
No problem. Outside of time space. That's what all this is working on is outside of time space, yeah.
Well, and I love that you work with animals. What a wonderful, wonderful gift that is.
Do we have a second for just a really quick
sure.
little thing?
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine was talking about her dog going to a doggy daycare, and all the animals usually that went there on a regular basis usually got together fine, but they were just having these weird problems, like they were getting irritated with each other and things like that. And so she took over the Earth Keeper blend and sprayed it in the water, and it helped.
Wow, and it calmed down?
Yeah, because animals also take on what's going on around us, and they do a lot to help us human beings. And so as soon as she put the Earth Keeper in the water, the animals started calming down. So the doggy daycare person got a bottle of it and has been using it.
Well, you know, and I have one more thing, just one more, about empathy. I think empathy is one of the greatest limiters between people because so many people aren't conscious about moving other people's energies out of their bodies. Do you have a suggestion on that? Animals do it. Children do it.
Right.
Children take on their parents. We lose track of who we really are.
Right.
The essence of who we are.
Right. Yes, that's really important. Now, there's several essences that have to do with boundaries. And one of them, a blend that would be really helpful for a lot of people is the Golden Armor, which is one of the aromatherapy blends, and it has several essences in it that have to do with personal boundaries and realizing that your boundaries are from your inside out instead of putting up armor against the world. And also some essential oils that have to do with being really grounded and centered in yourself.
Golden Armor. I'm going to end with that, and I'm going to get some. Thank you so much, Diana Pepper of
You're
Tree
welcome.
Frog Farm.
Thank you, Veronica, for having me today.
Oh, it was really fun for me. I learned a lot.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.